I'd like for you to take the Word of God, please, and turn with me, if you would, to the book of Hebrews, chapter 1. Hebrews, chapter 1. I wish all of you knew how interesting it is to be a pastor and to watch everything take place and wonder what's coming next. From this vantage point, you see lots of things. You really do. And then to be asked by so many people to do something different. Why don't you just do something different? It'd be great if everyone had a seat and everyone was listening so God could speak to your heart. There's one great thing that has to happen in life. One great thing. God has designed that we come to know Him. You may be an expert in one of many things, but if you leave this world and never got acquainted with the Lord, you're going to meet someone you do not know. Because all of us have an inevitable meeting with the Lord. I've been affected by Bible-believing Christian people. And so some of the silliness that goes on during the Christmas season, I've had people rebuke me about through the years, and I've gotten pretty serious about the whole fact that what we're here for is to take advantage of this occasion to try to encourage people to gain a greater knowledge of the Lord and what He's planned for our lives. So that's what I've been doing. And someone will say, that was a little boring or not quite as exciting as something else. I'm not going to fuss about what other people are doing, but I just believe God's given me this to do. Amen. The Bible says the church is the pillar and ground of the truth. Where are people going to hear the truth? And we're moving further and further from it. So where are people going to hear the truth if they can't get it at their church? The pillar and ground of the truth. So let me just give you these things from God's Word, and then we'll move forward with trust. I want you to write some things down, if you would, please, and ask God to use these things, not only for your benefit, but to pass on to other people so you have them and you can share them from your heart and from God's Word with others who need them. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. If you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, I want you to mark what we find in the third verse, among many things we find here, the express image of His person. The express image of His person. The Christ that's been created by the world is not the express image of the person of God. And so we must return always to the Christ of the Bible. If you hold your place there and go with me to Colossians chapter 1. In Colossians chapter 1, the Bible speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ, beginning with verse 13, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. So He's translated us. We were once under the power of darkness, all of us who now know the Lord, living in darkness. So now He's translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. We're already in the kingdom of His dear Son. Eternal life is a present possession. Verse 14 says, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. I hope you have the forgiveness of your sins. Amen. Then we come to the 15th and 16th verses. After God gives us this prayer previously, speaking of Christ in verse 15, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether it be thrones, dominions, or principalities, or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. There's only one vital question in life, and that is, who is Jesus Christ? Who is he? And you and I need to spend our lives getting acquainted with him and know him for who he truly is and be able to tell other people who he is. Someone encouraged me recently to read part of a biography about a famous young man who's been a tremendous inventor, entrepreneur, and his name is on the lips of lots of business people worldwide. So I took the admonition and looked up his life, read some things interesting about his life. He began in South Africa, has an unbelievable imagination. He's called by many the greatest visionary of our day. He's had a lot of successes and lots of failures. But to my knowledge, from what I can find out about him, he doesn't know the Lord Jesus. I want to ask you this question. If you knew who he was, knew his name, and knew that he didn't know the Lord Jesus, I would say from that, no matter what he's accomplished and what he's done in life, he's missed the most important thing. Now, in addition to that, my heart goes out to him because he lost his family in all of this. In a tragic divorce, his wife and children, he lost. And I would imagine, from what I know about human beings, just what I know about human beings, that he would trade most anything he has to be able to go back and recover what he can never regain in his wife and children. A Christian man who has properly placed priorities, who understands the Lord and knows the Lord and lives for the Lord, is a fulfilled man who knows what matters in life and what matters most. And that's what we all need to come to, all of us. I want you to turn with me to the Gospel according to John just a moment. I'm coming back to Hebrews chapter 1, but the Gospel according to John. There's a battle going on about the person of Christ in this particular passage of Scripture. In John, the Gospel according to John, the fifth chapter. And God tells us plainly what it's all about. In the 18th verse, the Bible says, "Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father." Notice the last line of verse 18, "making himself equal with God." This is what they accused Christ of, making himself equal with God. Now I want to ask you a question. If you'd been in that crowd involved in that argument, standing on one side or the other, where would you have landed? Is he equal with God? Who is he? The Bible says he is the express image of his person. Here, his accuser says he's making himself equal with God. Well, let's let Jesus answer for himself. I want you to be strengthened in the truth of who he is. We're about to enter in to, I think, the most oppressive world order that we have ever lived in. Unbelief and the fruit of unbelief is going to be something that's challenging people all across our land. As a matter of fact, you're not going to go anywhere and be involved in anything, in any institution in America, where someone's not going to challenge your faith and say what they believe is just as important as what you believe, except what they believe is in disorder. And what you and I believe, we hope, is in a divine order found in the Word of God. So Jesus answers his critics. Look at them, verse 19. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son of Man can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. And he's speaking of God the Father, and he says, whatsoever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. And so Jesus is moving forward in what they're accusing him of, claiming to be equal with God. And he says of himself that he is equal with God in power. Is he? Let's go on. For the Father loveth the Son and showeth him all things that himself doeth, and he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. Here he declares that he is equal with God in knowledge, equal with God the Father in knowledge. Verse 21, For as the Father raises up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. And he's saying here, he's equal with God in raising the dead. Verse 22, For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. So he's not only equal with God in raising the dead, he said he's equal with God the Father in judgment. And here he really brings it to home, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father, which hath sent him. And he says that God the Son is equal with God the Father in honor. If you talk to someone that says, I believe in God, I just don't believe in the Son. I believe in God, but I just don't believe in Jesus. Oh, I'm a man or a woman who really believes there's a God, but I just don't have anything for Jesus. Well, the Bible says that you cannot honor God the Father without honoring God the Son. That's what the Word of God says. I remind you again in Hebrews, listen to it carefully. In Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, Jesus Christ is the express image of his person, meaning God's person. Again, in Colossians, the Bible says in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 15, who is the image of the invisible God. God wants us to know him. I want you to think a moment about what lengths the Lord has gone to, what lengths the Lord has gone to for us to know him. He became a man without ceasing to be God. He said to his disciples when one of them questioned him and said, I want to know the Father. I want to know God. Listen to what he said. He says in verse 7 of chapter 14 in John, If ye had known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth, you know him and have seen him. That's an interesting statement, isn't it? You've seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father and it sufficeth us. In verse 9 of John chapter 14, Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. How sayest thou then, show us the Father? The point I'm trying to make is just one point, and I'm hammering it again and again and again. God wants you to know him. And you cannot know him except through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the high priestly prayer the Lord gave us, recorded for us in the 17th chapter of the Gospel according to John. Let me read just a little of it. John chapter 17, verse 1. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. In verse 4 he says, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee. Notice, please, before the world was. Jesus said, before the world was, I was with God the Father. Again and again, verse 8, for I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. Come near the end of this prayer recorded for us in chapter 17. He says, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also, verse 20, which shall believe on me through their word, that they may be one as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Again and again he talks about the world and knowing the Father and knowing the Son. I'm trying to help you this way and trying to help myself this way. I discovered long ago that I'll know God through His Word. In the last chapter of the Gospel according to Luke, the Lord was talking to what we call the Emmaus Road disciples in that chapter, and He spoke to them as He was walking along with them. And the Bible says, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and enter into His glory? And beginning at Moses and the prophets, He expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning Himself. The way we learn about God is through His Word, through the teaching of His Holy Spirit, bringing us to the knowledge of the truth. And knowing God and obeying God because we know Him and obey Him is what equips us. We are not nearly equipped like we ought to be for what we are facing in this moment. I don't want to go off on a tangent ever. I don't want to be a hobby horse pastor or preacher. I've never desired to be affected by sensationalism and just get on one thing and stay on it and make it the sensational thing. But Christians are going to be up against it, especially people that don't know the Word of God and don't know who Christ is. When you know the Bible and you know the Lord Jesus Christ, you're the person who has the answer the world needs to hear, because you have the truth. Everything ugly and awful against God is against His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the world has been a tool of the devil, the world system, to create a counterfeit Christianity and Christ. And so, I want to ask you again, as we're nearing the celebration of the birth of our Lord, do you know Him and know who He is? I'm going to do this quickly. I plan to give a lot of time at it, but I'm going to give this very quickly. I want you to go back to the book of Hebrews. Remember, this is the Word of God. God says, God who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. That's how they heard from God. Hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, So everything we need to know is in the person of the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And God gives us this list of things. Look at it, please. Whom he hath appointed heir of all things. Write this verse down, would you please? The Gospel according to John, chapter 1, verse 3. Let me read it for you. John, chapter 1, verse 3. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. That's who he is. He's the creator of all things, the heir of all things. Notice the second thing in this list, the Bible says, not only is he the heir of all things, but by whom also he made the worlds. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11. In Hebrews chapter 11, just quickly write it down. Very little comment I'm making, but I want you to write this down. He made the worlds. This is who he is. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. And then verse 3 of chapter 11 in Hebrews. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen are not made of things which do appear. I heard a man in an audience in Knoxville just a few days ago mocking that God was the creator and saying with affirmation, if you were foolish enough not to believe in evolution, if you were one of those people who was somebody who just said, I'll take the God of the Bible at his word, you're way out of step with all of it. And this was an educator in our educational systems. Now, the Bible says that Jesus Christ made the worlds. That's what the Bible says. Notice the third thing he says here. He says he is the brightness of his glory. Back to John chapter 1, verses 14 to 18. Write it down. John chapter 1, verses 14 to 18. Let me just read it. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And the Bible says in verse 18, no man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. What a verse! Who do you believe Jesus is? How are you going to stand up against critics who are going to be multiplied many times over about what the family is supposed to be and the confusion people are living in? In other words, instead of running after everything imaginable and jumping in every fight somebody wants you to get involved in, just know who Jesus Christ is. And it settles everything else. Look back again, if you would, please. Not only is this the brightness of his glory, he's the express image of his person. I want you to go quickly with me to the book of 1 John, chapter 1. In 1 John, chapter 1, allow me to begin reading with verses 1 and then verse 2 and verse 3. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled, of the word of life. For the life was manifested and we have seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. Look at twice in verse 2, the word manifested unto us. With the Father manifested to us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Now that's what the Bible says. You see, churches have gone running after whorish things, adulterous things spiritually. And they think if they can entertain people long enough, they'll keep them in a church service. But they leave those kind of meetings and those kind of churches knowing absolutely nothing about the Word of God and the Lord Jesus Christ and who He is. And you know, I may be criticized even by some of you from time to time for not playing more games, but I just believe line upon line, precept Amen. Upon precept, we need to give the Word of God. And you need to get it and give it to others. We're back in Hebrews chapter 1, the express image of His purpose as His person. And then notice, please, upholding all things by the word of His power. How do you think the world continues without imploding? People can't explain it. They can't explain it. But look what Colossians chapter says. Chapter 1, Colossians chapter 1. Look at it again. The Bible says in verse 16, "For by Him were all things created, that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him." Nothing in nature, in God's creation, is serving its proper purpose unless it's being done for the Lord's glory. And the Bible says, "And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist." That means the word "consist" means all things are held together. Even someone who's just a beginning student in some field of science would tell you it's miraculous, miraculous, this thing of gravity, and miraculous, this thing of the world being held together. And the Bible says that God is doing that. Even these foolish people who deny God, who think they're so bright and deny the Lord, they know nothing. They're called by the Bible fools, denying the Lord. Then the Word of God says, not only upholding all things by His power, but He has purged our sins. Have your sins been purged? Have they? So what if you lived and became famous? What if you accomplished something and people applaud you for it? What if you take your greatest treasure and things like that and die in your sins and go to hell forever? Have your sins been purged? Only one can purge your sins, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Write this passage down, if you would. Again, 1 John chapter 1. And let me read it for you in the 7th verse of chapter 1. "But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin." Even our president started out with some foolish remarks concerning the Lord and the things of God. But he got back to the right thing. I think somebody got to him with the gospel. And he realized he did need forgiveness. And his sins need to be purged. And the only one who could purge his sins is the Lord Jesus Christ. Who is He? Who is He? He's God. And then the Bible says He is set down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Let's go back to the high priestly prayer of the Lord Jesus in John chapter 17 and verse 4. If you'll write that passage down, John 17, 4. And I apologize for hurrying, but I know you didn't come here to sit and hear this all night. "I have glorified Thee on the earth. I have finished the work which Thou gavest Me to do." John 17, 4. Do you know where Jesus is now? He's in you in the person of the Holy Spirit if you've been born again. But He's seated at the right hand of God the Father where He ever liveth to make intercession for us. And do you know what the Bible says about that? That that's the sum of all things. That's what the book of Hebrews is about. That our Christian faith is greater than what the Jews had. And the sum of all things is that Christ ever liveth to make intercession for us. And right now, while you and I are sitting here, Jesus Christ is seated at the right hand of God the Father, interceding for us. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 1. "Now of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such an high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens." That's the sum. Let's sum it all up. That's the sum. Now, I don't want to seem like a disgruntled man. I'm not. I'm happy. But the church is not for fun and games. The church is for truth. Christmas, you may enjoy your family and friends and be the happiest Christmas wishing person in the world. But don't forget why it's celebrated. Because God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And who is His Son? Who is His Son? Why did God do this? He is the express image of the invisible God. There's no greater knowledge than the knowledge of God, to know Him. And we get to know Him through His Son, the Lord Jesus, and through His Word. I hope when my time has come, and I hope it's a long time from now, you'll say, the man taught and preached the Word of God to us. Let's pray together, may we?